Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcellus Wiley, Emmanuel Acho's in the building.
Let's get it. Let's get it.
Give me an airboat, big dog.
That's all it is, right there.
All right, young man. You know this is Friday. I need your young butt to finish strong. So let's start off today with the GOAT, Tom Brady, who has been working hard to get up to speed with his new teammates this offseason. But as COVID-19 cases in Florida spiked to record levels this week, the NFLPA issued medical guidance suggesting players stop group workouts. Even so, Brady and his boys have been out there all week, with Brady posting about the workouts on Instagram, including quoting FDR with the caption, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Acho, is Brady being fearless or foolish here?
Yo, my dog Brady is being foolish, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the thing, Marcellus. He was being fearless at first, right? But fearless has its limits, and fearlessness has its boundaries. Okay, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. No, you need to fear COVID. Okay, because you're 43 years old.
So he's in a different demographic?
He's in a different demographic.
Stop it.
I understand, though. I get him. I get it. Because Tom Brady realizes, like we've talked about, and like I will continue to reiterate.
Okay.
He got no choice but to get W's out in Tampa Bay. He didn't go out there just to live in sunshine, Marcellus.
No state tax.
No. That's not the only reason.
Right.
He went out there because the Super Bowl is in Tampa. And he is notorious and symbolic for winning Super Bowls. Yeah, if Tom Brady, who is anatomically limited for Bruce Arians' offense, what I mean by that?
Please.
Bruce Arians, we all know, big shot, big arm quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, he's just not built for that anymore. So how can you make up for a physical limitation? Mental. That's how. Anticipation. By being on time with his receivers. But the only way he can get that timing down is by getting ahead of the game with these workouts. So I don't mind him being fearless to a point, Marcellus. But here's the line. Tom Brady crossed the line.
Oh, he crossed that line?
He crossed the line.
I love the fact that you said you don't mind. You almost went Key Sweat.
I don't mind.
You all know that still youngster. Okay. You were actually right when you started. And then you started out think yourself.
Uh-oh.
And you went to a different place. You went foolish, but it's really fearless, and I'll tell you
how.
Why. Two things. One, you talked about COVID. He's saying middle finger to COVID. You know why? Because I'm looking at the death rate as it continues to go down. I look at the infection rate as it continues to go up, and I'm looking at the NFLPA's like, look, if I have a bad season, are you guys going to do anything to change that reality? Absolutely not. So right now in a risk-reward relationship, he's going to take the risk to get the reward of going out there and winning, potentially hosting a Super Bowl. That'll be the first time we've ever seen that. A player hosting the Super Bowl and actually going out there and winning it. But the second point is even grander. This is about Tom Brady saying, I don't even fear the unknown. And most people walk around saying, oh, you leave somewhere for 20 years. You go to a new situation, a new company, talking to the layman. You know what they start saying? I don't know. Can I still ride a bike? Am I still the same guy? Tom Brady puts that uniform on. That uniform doesn't put Tom Brady on. So since he has a different uniform, he's still Tom Brady who's betting on himself, fearless.
Here is the problem with what you just said. Tom Brady, who has moved to Tampa Bay and tried to rename it Tampa.
I like that.
Okay, think about this.
Tampa Brady.
Tom Brady ain't like everybody else. If Tom Brady gets sick, the whole league is shutting down. Backup quarterback, you can get sick.
Okay.
Backup running back, you can get sick. Mm. Emmanuel Acho, Marcellus Wiley, we can get sick.
Chill.
But
chill. Pizzle, San Diego, Marcellus, or Dallas?
But if Tom Brady gets sick, this isn't something to play about. Like, remember, it doesn't matter how we want to view humanity and how we want to view people. Within the NFL, there is a pecking order. Yeah. There is a pecking order based on what you have done for the league, and that is how you are treated. In the event Tom Brady, something happens to him, the whole joint could shut down. And so Tom just has to realize he's not like everybody else.
Right.
You have something to fear because more weight is put on you, more eyeballs are put on you.
Yeah, you're talking about that weight. He hears the critics. Oh, when you were married to Belichick, you were the GOAT. You're not married. Y'all got divorced. You wanted to leave, pack your bags, go somewhere where there's no state tax. You know who we are betting on. They're betting on Bill Belichick, not just because of longevity of being a coach. You can out-coach any player in terms of their career years. But the fact that most people are like, Tom Brady, early Tom Brady, you know who you were? A guy getting carried by Bill Belichick's greatness and building a defense and special team. And now Tom Brady's in a situation, he's like, I'm not scared. Like, y'all forgot, TB12, I am Tom Brady. Yeah, I'm feeling myself right now. Yeah, I'm at a point where I'm fearless right now. I'm going to go to a new situation that has better assets, better resources. We actually have better weapons in terms of what I can do. And a lot of people are whispering and praying for my downfall. But Tom Brady's like, excuse me, if you give me what I need, I'm going to give you what you want.
I respect that. You said praying for my downfall. I thought you was going to educate me on another hip-hop.
Yeah, I knew that was your world. I was just making sure. Whether it's fearless or foolish, it's clear Brady is having a good time in Tampa. With his throwing coach, Tom House, recently telling GQ, quote, I think the most fun text we've had is when Gronk signed. Tom texted me and said, football's fun again. Acho, think this is a shot at Bill Belichick, his ex?
I love this topic.
Yeah, this is it.
I love this topic. Think about this, Marcellus. Say you're in a long-term relationship, a few years, several years, 5, 10 years. Then something catastrophic happened.
What happened?
You break up, and now you're in a new relationship, and you're happy.
Okay.
Just because you're talking about your newfound happiness, that does not mean it's a shot at your past.
Jeez.
You're just being honest.
Jeez.
And I think that Tom Brady, he's just keeping it 100. Like, he is not intentionally throwing shade, as the kids would like to say. He's not throwing shade at Bill Belichick. He's just being real. The fact of the matter is, you don't have fun in New England. That is what we have heard. Now, the fun is in winning. I thoroughly believe that quote. But outside of on the football field, if you're not winning games in New England, I don't think there was much fun there. Remember, Rob Gronkowski retired just to come back as soon as he could go to another organization. Like, they literally made a future Hall of Famer, likely first ballot, gold jacket, Rob Gronkowski retire. And so I don't know that Tom was throwing a shot necessarily. I think he was just keeping it real. And the real happened to be offensive.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. Because you know on these shows you get argumentative. Oh, I wonder if they told him to disagree. You have a strong argument. But I still disagree. I got to get my money. I got to get my check. Let me tell you this. This is Tom Brady taking the shot at Bill Belichick. But he thought it was a slingshot. It's actually a boomerang. It's coming back on you, Tom Brady. When I heard this, I said, ooh, you trying to shade tree Bill Belichick? In case you forgot, Bill Belichick, who... they had the same issue with him when he was with Bill Parcells. Oh, I wonder if Bill Belichick could do it without Parcells. Excuse me. We know how that tug of war ended up. In terms of Bill Belichick's greatness, and now Tom Brady wants to do the same thing Bill Belichick did to Bill Parcells. I can prove to you that I'm not just under your umbrella. Here's the issue with it. No one ever told you that football was a personality-based game.
Of course.
You know, I know so many teammates that were nice. Yes, sir. No, sir. War paint. Okay, whatever you say. I am regurgitating the playbook. Let's go play. And then the ball's kicked off. Back, sorry as hell. Nobody told you to act like that. It's about the moment of truth. Tom Brady suppressed his own personality and now is blaming it on Belichick, the culture in New England. Let me give it to you from the top down. Please. They have an owner who went to Columbia, my alum, you know what I'm talking about, who wears suits and tennis shoes. They have an owner who drafted a murderer, sorry, respect, rest in peace, all that. But, and not only that, in a free agent acquisition, went out there and got somebody who killed someone. They have Rob Gronkowski, who built a brand on acting a fool, and still balling. Julian Edelman, we all know, gets it in. Willie McGinnis, you can never tell him what to do. Rodney Harrison has never been suppressed in his life. There are so many cast of characters that have been on New England and have been able to be who they wanted to be. Tom Brady decided to be Captain America. Tom Brady realized that this team was carrying me my first few years, and now I need to be quiet. But when he started to feel himself, it was too late. Too much success. Why change it up? That's on Tom Brady.
The only thing I'm going to give you in everything you just
said. Itty-bitty.
The only thing I'm going to give you is Tom Brady does look like he'd make a great Captain America. Okay, that's about all you said that I agree with. Tom Brady is the quarterback of the franchise. You know as well as I do that quarterbacks don't have the same luxuries as other players. I'm not faulting. It's not Tom Brady's fault that he couldn't be Tom Brady. Tom Brady is running under Bill Belichick. Masked, hoodied Bill Belichick. It don't matter the temperature. You're going to see the cutoff Bill Belichick. The most stoic, just still head coach in the NFL when it comes to interacting with the media and showing true personality. You said it falls top down.
It does.
Well, the top really running that organization It's Bill Belichick. We know that. Uh-huh. Who's drafting players? It's Bill Belichick. Uh-huh. But don't talk to me about Robert Kraft and what he gets in and doesn't get in okay. and wearing his kicks with his suits because I didn't have nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Everything that matters is what Bill Belichick does. Now, you mentioned so many of these players that have come and gone through New England.
Yeah.
Tom Brady came and stayed.
Edelman's still there.
In New England.
Edelman's still there. Gronk only retired because his body was falling apart, literally.
Case. That's not the case, coach. So you think his body somehow has regenerated?
I would testify right now. I wish they had red shirt years in the pros because in college, we wasted. Like, we young. We gonna recover. Oh, you need to sit out this year. But in the pros, when you're slumping, when you're falling off, when you're going down the hill with no brakes, tap out. Can I get a year? I'll be back. Tom Brady got one because of the injury. Let me tell you this. Since you want to talk about Robert Kraft, and he's not the one, even though he hang out with Meek Mill and Jay-Z and wearing tennis shoes. You talking about he ain't open-minded. Tom Brady couldn't be himself. Let's talk about the same Bill Belichick, who's on fishing trips with his young girlfriend and Jimmy Johnson. You think he's just mumbling on the fishing trip, sipping on some beers, talking that noise? I've hung out with Bill Belichick before, and that's loosely based. A lot of interactions, you know, professional settings, gatherings, and even pregame. Belichick, for the cameras, podium talk, move on, next man up. Outside of that, has a personality, and I think he invites everyone to have a personality. But we must funnel that into the team concept. You look disheveled.
You said he invites them. The invitation must get lost in the mail, okay? Because if Belichick is out here writing invitations to have a personality, nobody on that Patriots organization clearly has ever received that invitation. Think about this, bro.
I'm listening.
Think about how many times we've seen Gronk about to say something, but then has to bite his words because he's like, man, I'm not trying to get fined. Like, I don't know that. I don't think these players have the freedom. If they did have the freedom, Brady wouldn't have said what he said.
No, Brady is acting brand new right now because he was leaking. Remember, this is the chronological time frame of when Belichick saw Brady leaking. And it's like, oh, Brady ain't who he said he was for the last, like, 9-10 years. Here we go. They took away his parking space. And then all of a sudden, the VIP access. No, you general admission like everybody else on this damn team, even though he should have kept his parking space. Come on,
facts.
Belichick.
Facts.
Right. Then Alex Guerrero lost his access. That's his partner. That's his boy. Oh, he can't go everywhere now? Then the whole Facebook, TB12, and he had a TV show. Tom Brady has a TV show. You think Bill Belichick, if he was such a suppressor, is not going to allow you to have a television show on Facebook? It was showing its ugly head. Now he has the freedom. Now he's feeling himself. And it just takes me back to when Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders had their altercation before a Super Bowl. Jerry Rice is like, we got 2 weeks down here in Miami. Everyone, run the hill. Everyone, march in steps. Let's prepare like every day is our last. And Deion like, this is just another game, man. I'm going to be me. And, you know, I'm going to be loose, free, and I'm going to go out there and ball. I don't need the production to show you that I'm going to produce. I think Tom Brady got caught up in that, and now he's feeling that freedom. Coming up, Lamar Jackson survived his run-in with a jet ski, but is his health still a major concern? We get into that next. Speak for yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's move now to Lamar Jackson, who's looking for a big follow-up to his MVP season. Mm. But some people are worried he won't even make it through the year. Tim Hasselbeck says the number of hits Lamar takes is still a major concern, and it's not a lot that he'll be able to play like this for another 5 seasons. We're joined now by my guy, NFL analyst LeVar Arrington. But Marcellus, I'm going to start with you, big bro.
What up?
Are you worried about Lamar's long-term health?
No. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. Are we going back there again?
No, I'm not worried about Lamar Jackson and his health.
First of all, let's set the tone and understand what football is. As soon as you cross those white lines, there is hell to pay, no matter what position you play and no matter how you play that position. You go full speed, you're going to get hurt. You go half speed, you're certainly going to get hurt. But pain is the way of the NFL. So let's talk about what Tim is really talking about. A mobile quarterback, a quarterback that puts himself more at risk because he's always running around. Ah, au contraire, mon frère. You know how many statue quarterbacks have been knocked out for the year, missed significant time, or even ended their career, and they're not moving anywhere? Let's go through a little list right here. Tom Brady, we were just talking about Tom Brady. Remember that? Tom Brady missed 15 games, basically the entire season, being in the pocket as, what, a statue. You talk about Peyton Manning.
and the neck surgeries and missing the entire year, being a statue. I go back to earlier years. Dan Marino tore Achilles, missed 11 games. Statue. You want to talk about Joe Theismann lost his career.
Talk about it.
Statue. This talk is about selective it. Perception at its finest. This is someone who comes to L.A. and says, everyone has a Mercedes. Actually, they don't. Most people got Toyotas, Nissans, and Hondas. But all you see is the Mercedes jumping out and Lamar Jackson jumping off the screen. And all of a sudden, you want to say that's the law. I disagree.
Yeah, I disagree as well. I don't find it to be a major concern. And, you know, Hasselbeck put a number on it by saying 5 years. I find it to be interesting because as we have these conversations more and more with the running quarterback emerging as this prominent figure in the National Football League, I feel like this exposes soft people. It exposes a soft culture. And you know, and a non-athletic culture. And I'm going to tell you why. These quarterbacks that have these opinions, these people that report on mobile quarterbacks that have these stories and storylines and narratives about these athletic quarterbacks, they're basing it off of, you said 5 years. Okay. Most quarterbacks in the NFL are playing 10 plus years in the league. When you're talking about the average is generally 3 years in the league. So as the evolution continues to take place, what needs to happen is we need to stop looking at quarterbacks as if they're different from any other player on the field. And this is the reason why, because the quarterback QB is a back, people. It is a back.
Great.
Okay. So now, when you're talking about QB versus RB, we've talked about the minimizing of an RB. But if you have a QB, a quarterback that can bring running athletic to the field, to the game plan, then expect and express a buy-in and an understanding that a quarterback means I can quarter run the ball and I can quarter throw the ball, okay? So we don't have to keep having conversations about somebody who plays a position that is actually intended. A back is actually intended to get hit.
No, deep. There's nothing I like more than when we all agree. It's just perfect harmony. Okay. This is just perfect harmony.
It ain't gonna happen here.
Because, gentlemen, both of you are correct, and I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into this conversation and say this. Give me 8 good years of Lamar over 12 to 13, 14, 15 good years of just your pocket quarterback that's going to be average.
Huh.
I'm not worried about Lamar Jackson getting hurt because not all backs are created equal. I played with LeSean McCoy. They called him Shady. Nickname on Instagram, Twitter, cut on a dime. I've never seen him take a hard hit, ever.
Preach.
He's so slippery, he just slides and glides. I say that to say, not all quarterbacks and running quarterbacks are created equal. Robert Griffin, Lamar Jackson's backup in Baltimore. Robert Griffin, his first couple years in the league, he didn't know how to take a hit. Dude was getting bombed on left and right, just bomb, bomb. I felt bad for the guy.
Right.
Robert Griffin, close friend, mind you. Lamar Jackson, we didn't see him take a lot of hits like these in his first 2 years in the NFL. Furthermore, let me add this point. We weren't worried about Carson Wentz's health issues until he got hurt. We weren't worried about Andrew Luck's health
issues. Here we go.
Until he got hurt.
I see the card.
So now, why are we worried about Lamar Jackson's health issues? I just don't get it.
So you do get it.
For me, it's a non-issue.
Oh, no. Not on this show. Once you play that card, we going to stare at it for a minute. And I want to stare at that implicit bias that comes from what you just said and what LeVar said about there was a day where the quarterback was protected. And I'm not just talking about in complexion. I'm talking about in skill set. Hey, the least athletic dude over here, unless he's like 300 pounds and he's a lineman, we need you to just take the ball and throw the ball. Cool? And to that point, they actually created the QB club. Go back and look what that was. That was a separate monetary marketing arm for only quarterbacks. Huh, they really try to protect their turf. They weren't even viewed as normal
players. So that obviously finally had to get broken up. And they get to this place where now 2.0 quarterbacks, mobile quarterbacks, are the fad, and they're actually the future. But there are other points beyond the implicit bias that you suggested that actually exist in this. And I'm not accusing you, Tim Hasselbeck, my friend, of that, but I'm just letting you know sometimes you can repeat someone else's truth, but their original truth is actually a lie. Deep. Anyway, let's talk about this. Penn State math, quarter run, quarter pass. What about the other half, LeVar? Can you finish that next time you get one?
Yeah, get the mic? I will.
Okay,
I will.
Because I want everyone to understand that who has the most rushing attempts since we're talking about running quarterbacks in the last few years? It's been Cam Newton. After Cam Newton is Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has started 143 games in a row with the second most rushing attempts at the quarterback position. If that doesn't blow up this theory that if you run, you're going to get injured, I don't know what does.
Well, I'm going to say it like this. To fill in that Penn State math, you hand it off to the halfback or you give it to the fullback, and that gives you your four quarters.
Okay, okay. We'll go. All right. Let's make the show.
Okay, so here we go.
Let's take it a little step.
Penn State, baby. Let's take it a step further on this, Mr. Hook It Horns, all right? I think about a name, Terrell Pryor. I think about a name, Tim Tebow, a guy by the name of Randall Cobb, or let's see, Antoine Randall-L. Mm. These guys are all major, amazing, phenomenal college quarterbacks that went to the next level in the league and were basically frowned upon for being the type of athletes that they were playing the quarterback's position. It's almost like you are not one of those quarterback PA guys, quarterback league guys. You're not one of the cool guys because you're athletic. Like, hey, wait, you don't play golf. You're running the football. Like, that's not what we do, right? So I have a problem with when someone like Tim Hasselbeck or Matt, I don't like either one of them, but hey, I don't like when they come out and have something to say about, they were quarterbacks. And,
okay, I'm about to say, are we really going?
This is not a personal attack.
Okay.
All I'm saying is every single time one of these guys comes out and says, oh, I'm so afraid for him. Oh, you know, to me, the translation is, please, Lamar, stop running. Stop running. You know why? Because my kid isn't going to be able to run like that. This is one of those last positions where, you know what? I don't have to be Usain Bolt in the 100 meters to win and have an opportunity. So it's okay when you put these guys at receiver. We didn't ask if Terrell Pryor and Antoine Randall-L and those guys, Tim Tebow, when they tried to put him at fullback, they didn't have the question, is he going to be okay? I'm concerned about his long-term, his health. Okay, well, if a guy is built enough and is well enough to be at receiver in different positions that played quarterback before, right? And you're not concerned about that now, then look at the evolution of what these athletes are, because these QBs understand what they're up against as well. Let's not underestimate them. They know what they're up against, nor do we need to minimize what their capabilities are by having these outlandish comments all the time about if you're a quarterback, some way, somehow, you're fragile and can't be hit or touched or thrown to the ground. I just don't like it.
Yeah, let me attach one more thing to what you just said, which was factual, in the terms of who Lamar Jackson is. Lamar Jackson has only missed one game with an ankle injury since his freshman year
at
Louisville. Okay, on top of that, last year, I remember it was a firestorm. Oh, my God, he has a tight quad injury. Is he going to miss a game in a short week? Oh, no. Not only did he not miss a game, he went out there and rushed for 86 yards. So why are we predicting and trying to prey on his downfall? His resume speaks for itself. He's not the type to get injured.
As simple as that. Don't believe the lies. Gentlemen, y'all are smarter than you look. Coming up, one former NFL star claims that the Packers have wasted Aaron Rodgers' career. We'll tell you what we think next. Speak for yourself. Presented by Hyundai.
Though some of our other favorite sports may be on hold, horse racing is still running strong. Live coverage of top-tier races on FS1 and FS2 throughout June. You can enjoy horse racing from top tracks across the country all month long. Visit americasbestracing.net/strong to learn more. Now let's move to Green Bay, where Aaron Rodgers isn't getting much love this offseason, with people in the media doubting him and the Packers making plans to replace him. But he's got one big defender these days, former wide receiver Brandon Marshall, my dog, who went on the Herd yesterday and said that the Packers wasted Rodgers' career by not surrounding him with enough talent. Ooh. Lars back with us. Acho, I'm going to start with you. You agree with Brandon Marshall here?
Absolutely. He's never been more correct in his life about anything in his life than saying that the Packers wasted Aaron Rodgers. Let me put this in perspective, dear fans. The Packers had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers for about 30 years combined. Two Super Bowls to show for it with two of the greatest quarterbacks to play the game. But let's zoom in on Aaron Rodgers specifically. The Packers have only had a topped scoring defense with Aaron Rodgers in 2009-2010. Want to know what happened in 2010? The Packers won the Super Bowl. In 2009, they lost a wild card game to the Arizona Cardinals when their defense gave up 531 yards. Mm. Let me put this in even better perspective. I don't like using numbers too often, but you got to understand these. Tom Brady, 18 full seasons, 15 times he's had a top 10 scoring defense. So while I do believe that quarterbacking is it's indicative of winning, and that winning is to a degree a quarterback stat. What I also believe is this: if you give Aaron Rodgers a top flight defense, he will take you far. This past season, number 9 scoring defense, that's what the Packers had, NFC Championship game. What the Packers have done is given him wrong pieces. Look no further than this previous draft. Mm. When you draft a quarterback in the first round, though you're one of only 8 teams without a 1,000-yard receiver, Packers have wasted Aaron Rodgers' career. Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks talent-wise this game had ever seen. And Aaron Rodgers would be one of the most historic quarterbacks this game had ever seen if the Packers would have done more for him.
Woo, smoke.
You know, a lot of what you're saying, young Macho Acho, has a lot of validity to it. I like it. I love it. But I'm not going to take any more of it. I'm going to say no.
All right? Yes, get him.
I'm going to say no. And the reason why I'm going to say no is we are all given our own set of circumstances when coming into the National Football League. You know what you're signing up for. If you're a draft pick, you don't get to choose what your circumstances are unless you become a free agent. If you come into the league as a free agent, you get to choose what team you want to go to, but you don't have much choice after that. So it's all about survival, trying to make the roster, be on the team. When I look at Aaron Rodgers' career with one Super Bowl, multiple MVPs, the Super Bowl MVP, the things that he has been able to do to have a historical career itself, I will say I understand maybe one Super Bowl doesn't suffice for people who have been looking at how great Aaron Rodgers has been. But take a look at some of the greatest quarterbacks that have played this game. Peyton Manning's only got one more Super Bowl than Aaron Rodgers, right? Dan Marino has no Super Bowl victories. Jim Kelly went to that bad boy 4 consecutive times and came away with no Super Bowl winning rings. So for me, I don't judge solely and purely off of what they do in the Super Bowls. And it sounded as though what Brandon was saying in context was he didn't get enough Super Bowls, and he's not going to get enough Super Bowls now to show his greatness. And I would disagree with that.
I disagree with it as well. And I love the fact that you brought the historical context, because I think Brandon is starting actually in a bad place with a bad premise. Like, he's starting with a false assumption that all great quarterbacks are going to be guaranteed Super Bowls and multiple Super Bowls. Of the 26 Hall of Fame quarterbacks that are in the modern era Hall of Fame, 12 of them have one title or no title. So it's basically a 50-50. And I'm not talking about good quarterbacks. I'm not talking about great quarterbacks. I'm talking about of the Hall of Fame, the cream of the crop, the top 1% of the 1%. It's still basically a 50-50 proposition. So when you have that fallacy of presumption, like, oh, Aaron Rodgers is so great, why doesn't he win more? LeVar just said it. It's not a guarantee even in greatness. Beyond that, if you look at what's happening with the NFL at a whole, we know what happens. If you're a great player coming out of college, you go to the worst team. You go to the worst situation. You don't get rewarded because you're great. You got to go somewhere and make it happen. Now, that wasn't the case for Aaron Rodgers, and that's why he had to wait his turn. But once he waited his turn, in 4 years, they already had won a Super Bowl. So what is this mindset that he has to continue to win Super Bowls while he's also playing through the era with a Peyton Manning and a GOAT in Tom Brady.
Let me tell y'all the minor. And if you ain't got a microscope, you'll miss it. Let me tell y'all the minor mistake that y'all are making.
Okay,
I like this.
You all are making an assumption that Aaron Rodgers has actually had a great supporting staff. And what I mean by that is a great head coach. Mike McCarthy has been looked at as a great head coach. Why? Because of Aaron Rodgers. But we actually don't know how good of a coach Mike McCarthy is because we haven't seen him succeed without Aaron Rodgers. Keep in mind, Mike McCarthy gets the boot in Green Bay. New head coach waltzes into Green Bay. Green Bay, I believe, 12-4 with an NFC championship.
13-3.
13-3. My mistake. Apologize, Packers
fans. Love it.
With a NFC championship appearance. So what the mistake that y'all are making is assuming, well, Aaron Rodgers had a great head coach. Aaron Rodgers had a great supporting staff. He should have done more. No. We don't know if that's the case, but Marcellus, I got to call you out real quick.
Dog! We just got here like three days ago.
No, I know.
Slow down.
I apologize.
Go get it.
What we know in recent history in the NFL, great quarterback, great coach, equals Super Bowl, period. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. Nick Foles, or really Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson.
Which one's
Tom
great?
Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. Ben Roethlisberger, and whichever way you want to go,
Tomlin
or Cowher. Like, give me either one. Like, both to me, historic. Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson. So you can look at the history back when they were wearing leather helmets, if y'all gentlemen so choose. But if y'all would please look at recent history. Great coach, great quarterback.
Recent history
equals Super Bowls. We know that Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. The great coach, that's still to be decided.
Macho, let me go ahead and stay on that microscope.
Yeah.
Let's look at a small, slight problem here that you may have missed in making your point about the success of a quarterback and a coach. And I agree with you, but the one thing you forgot is in success, there is a trinity. And within that trinity, my friend, you cannot leave out the organization, all right? And so, therefore, when I look at what has taken place with some of these teams, and you named, is it Bill Cowher and Ben Roethlisberger, or Tomlin and Roethlisberger? Is it Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? Well, you got to add, is it the team organization as well? So when I look at what Aaron Rodgers has been able to do, whether we know that to be a true, tremendous trinity or not, because some would argue that maybe Aaron Rodgers doesn't become Aaron Rodgers without the watchful eye and guidance of Mike McCarthy as the coach. So to that point, if you have a good coach, but whether it's questionable or not, you have a good quarterback, that's not in question. Now we're talking about organizationally speaking, how are all of those three coming into sync to make sure that there is success? I can say this. They have had enough success. That Super Bowl is representation of it. They have had enough success where I'm not going to just throw the accomplishments to the wind and say that it was a bust for Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not going to solely base it upon saying that if he had a better coach, maybe he would have had a better career. Because I think that it's all three that plays a part.
Yeah. Y'all making me mad up here. I've never seen a coach cross the white lines. I've never seen an organization get on the field either. And y'all want to talk about that. At first, you start talking about receivers, and he needed the weapons, and they didn't draft well. Acho, I heard you in the beginning. I'm listening to every single syllable you say. But then I ask you, if you would have gave Aaron Rodgers one of the top receivers of late, how would he have fared when Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, and A.B., I don't see any Super Bowls with those receivers. Now we can get into the details why, but I'm just saying, giving you a great receiver is not a guarantee for greatness in the Super Bowl. That said, you getting tired of us talking about leather helmets. Okay, I could stay recent with you, millennial.
Please do.
Let's talk about the last three seasons, and it's not the organization, it's not the coach. It's actually Aaron Rodgers in decline right here. The last three seasons, do you guys see that 14 other quarterbacks have thrown for 30-plus pass touchdowns, but not Aaron Rodgers? Have you seen that 18 other quarterbacks have had a 98 or higher passer rating,
but not Aaron Rodgers. And then you see, because you're talking about situations and coaches, organizations, and receivers. The last one is on Aaron Rodgers. 65% completion percentage or better. Not Aaron Rodgers, but 26 other guys. You can have a turtle out there. You can have a hare out there. If you can't even get on the ball over 65% of the times in completion percentage, the man in the mirror needs to look at himself a little longer.
Marcellus, why are you so good on air? One, because you're talented, yes, sure. But another reason, you walk into your dressing room, your suit's already there.
It's there.
You walk up here, your IFB's already around your chair. You walk back downstairs, you got somebody there to help tend to you. Phenomenal producer, shout out to him. It's about those around you that help you, Marcellus. You are a first-hand product of that. You're not just good because you show up and you deliver words so eloquently and just you deliver them so perfectly. If you have help. When you look at Aaron Rodgers last year, his third best receiver, leading receiver, was a running back. Mm. His leading receiver in Davante Adams didn't have 1,000 yards again, injuries. So you can't just sit here and tell me about Aaron Rodgers' decline when they're declining to give Aaron Rodgers help. That's it.
Yeah, and dress too, Marcel.
Yo, take us- I don't know how to feel. I've never felt worse by feeling better. That's the craziest place to be. I love this dude right here. Before we go, we want to tell you about an important initiative we're proud to support in the fight against COVID-19 called The Fight Is In Us. If you've had the coronavirus, you've had antibodies in your plasma that can help save lives. So a group of organizations and celebrities have produced a public service campaign to ensure you know what to do. Here's more from The Rock.
We're going through a really tough time right now all around the world. And COVID-19 is still impacting so many people. If you survived it, then you're the heroes we need. The plasma that's in your blood can literally save lives. But we have to act fast. So please donate. You fought for your life. Now, let's work together to take down COVID-19. To donate plasma, go to thefightisinus.org.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's move to the NBA, where a number of players have already decided not to participate in the league's relaunch next month. Now, a guy who wasn't going to be playing anyway in Kevin Durant, he says that even if he was healthy, he probably wouldn't play in the bubble because it's so unpredictable. We're joined now by the one and only Slick Rick, NBA analyst Rick Bucher. But Marcellus, I'm going to start with you. Do you respect KD for saying this?
Not only do I respect him, it's refreshing to see that in this world right now where everything is so binary, even his explanation was nuanced. He even gave ammunition to those who would criticize his response and said, hey, it's unpredictable. That's one of the words that jumped out to me. It's just so unpredictable, just like Kevin Durant is. The best label for KD is no label. This dude will do whatever he wants and not be a prisoner of his own success. Oh, you want to take a shot at me on Twitter? Here comes a shot back at you. Well, you should be bigger than that. You're Kevin Durant. He's like, no, before all that, I'm just a person who feels, who sees, and who responds to whatever the circumstances are. And this circumstance, KD took you through the ride, the mental roller coaster of the pros and cons of this situation. Me personally, I'm going to the bubble at all costs. I'm kind of like LeBron James, but I certainly respect and think it's refreshing when someone says, all things considered, I think I'm going to tap out.
I not only can't respect it, I can't defend it.
Oh, man.
I'm not even sure this was really Kevin Durant saying this. I mean, what happened to the KD who chastised reporters and the media for asking big philosophical and political questions and saying, man, I just want to hoop? What happened to the KD who, against the advice of the people closest to him, said, dude, you got a bad calf. It's a bad idea to try to come back with no practice and play in the finals and blew his Achilles. What happened to the KD who loves to go to the Rucker and other playgrounds because he's just a hooper? If the Rucker and playgrounds aren't an unpredictable situation, I don't know ultimately what is. But that's not even the worst part of it. Can we get that back up? Can we get the quote back up?
No.
Can we get that screen back up?
Yep. Here he goes.
Can you show that? the highlighted. I'm all about what the group wants. Now, the reason everybody felt okay with Kyrie going to the Nets was because he was going with KD, who is going to be the leader. Mm. He's not even resolute in whether he's playing or not. It's unpredictable. You know what? Hey, if the guys want to play, I guess I'll play. But if they don't want to play, well, then I'm not going to play. That doesn't sound like a $164 million leader to me. Like, what is going on? He's not a leader. He's not sure whether he wants to play or not. And he's not a hooper anymore. I think he's made too many cameos on Billions and is maybe too involved in documentaries. That's the only explanation I have.
First off, Billions, phenomenal show, but that's neither here nor there. Hmm. Slick Rick. Hmm. Slick Rick, the slickest.
Yes.
The rickest. Here's the thing. You said what happened to the KD that was just a hooper? The best teacher in life is experience. Mm. And what KD has realized, how KD has matured, obviously a very intelligent person, went to the University of Texas. How KD has matured is realizing, you know what? I'm not going to come back if we're not going to win a chip. Slick Rick, let me tell you this, something you probably already know because you're a very intelligent man. It's been a decade, since a non-one or two seed went to the NBA Finals, a team that wasn't led by LeBron James, that is. It's been a decade since the 2011 Dallas Mavericks, born and raised in Dallas, my Dallas Mavericks. It's been 10 years. So what KD realizes is, man, I'm going to play the odds. What I'm going to come back for? For what? It don't make no sense, Slick Rick. So
is that what he said?
I can't get down. I can't get down with you, my brother.
Get him, Slick.
Is that what he said? Because what I heard was... Mm. COVID-19's got me a little shaky. Chance to win a championship. It was, you know what? This sounds kind of, I don't know. I'm not sure. And what are you saying? Like the NBA is putting you guys at risk? Is that ultimately what you're saying? No, I'm not saying that. Because if the guys want to play, I'll play. But if they don't want to play, then I'm kind of scared a little bit. Like, what the hell? What is that?
Don't do that to Kevin Durant. First of all, he's post-traumatic stress.
Thank you.
In terms of what happened at Golden State, he literally went to Golden State when Steph Curry was at the peak of his powers and made Steph Curry look like a subordinate. And he had to play the role that it's all about us when in reality, in basketball lenses, it's all about me. I know you had your success, and I know I fell short in terms of championship success before you. But they had an altercation in terms of basketball acumen and production. And it didn't go well for Steph Curry in that one-on-one battle. But it all fell on Kevin Durant. He's like, did y'all not see me defer all of this time so that this guy can make sure he keeps the master bedroom in the house that I'm helping build? It's okay. And now he's like, Kyrie, we're going to do this again. I've learned from that situation. And let's go forward and do it different. How can you slight a guy who's trying to respond to something he experienced?
That's Slick Rick. Anything, because I'm with my dog, Marcellus.
Hey, look, I generally respect, like, and admire both of you guys. So I'm going to do this. It's our first week. It's a Friday. I'm going to give you a one-time amnesty for either one of you.
A mulligan?
Jump ship, and I'm not going to judge you on it because I'm hearing some crazy talk from the two of you. I wish I was there in the studio with you because I need to hear this in person.
My man.
Whatever, Slick. Oh, coming up, some people.
My God.
I think that Tom Brady just took a shot at Bill Belichick. You know Uncle Jimmy going to have something to say about it. That's next. Speak for yourself. Presented by...
Welcome back. Let's talk Tom Brady, whose throwing coach, Tom House, just revealed that the GOAT told him football was fun again after joining the Bucs with Rob Gronkowski. We got Uncle Jimmy with us right now. Jim, Uncle, what's up? You think this was a shot at Bill Belichick?
Hey, man, what they used to say back in the day? Shots fired.
Blah.
Man down. Or in the words of my guy, Snagglepuss, pimping distress even. What the hell you think Tom Brady's supposed to say? Tom Brady say what everybody say when they become the victim of an involuntary separation. They talk about, I never wanted to be there in the first place. And then they get into a new relationship, and then they start talking about how happy they are. How they feeling things like they ain't never felt before. Start talking about how much they like their new partner.
That guy.
Kind of like all that mess that Marcella's been telling you, Ocho. I hear him whispering them little naughty nothings in your ear. Talking about, I ain't never felt like nobody like I feel about you, big dog. I mean, literally. Really, Marcellus? Oh, literally, big dog.
Hey, will you stop?
Don't believe that, man.
I'm still the co-host killer. You better watch your back. That's it for us, America.